Right, Alison Morris from the Irish News with us this morning. Alison, morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, and the commentator Alex Kane. Alex, morning to you.
Morning,
good morning,
Alison.
Morning to you both. Right, the Peter Robinson speech last night, when he was talking about leadership so much, Alison, what do you think he was actually saying?
Well, where to start? I mean, it has been called a thinly veiled attack, but it wasn't that thinly veiled, was it really? I mean, it sort of confirmed what we had all been saying, but yet the DUP wouldn't confirm, and that the speculation that there was a draft deal, but the problem arose when it couldn't be sold on down the party. I think that there was a lot of it. There was a bit of ego in it as well. Peter Robinson was letting everybody know, you know, that during his time and his leadership, he had done things differently, and harking back to the time when he was in government with Martin McGuinness. But also, I wonder, because he's a very astute man, he's a very clever man, but he also still has a very influential role within the DUP, despite the fact that he is now retired from his role. And you would wonder on what advice or who he had spoke to before he made that speech. And it is something that I think that if shortly down the line or in a month or two, we do hear rumblings of some sort of leadership challenge in the DUP, we'll think back and this will be the origins of it. This will be the day that we go, that's what was going on with Peter Robinson's speech that day.
Alex?
I think Alison's right. It's one of those odd things. Robinson denied last night. He was in an interview with Mark Carruthers. He said, oh, no, it wasn't an attack on her at all. Don't be stupid, and how dare you. The reality is, when you devote about 50 minutes of a lecture telling people how a leader cuts a deal, how a leader manages to keep his party with him and his offers, how he keeps them informed, how the leader takes control and possession of a deal, how the leader says, look, this is what I believe we should be doing, I'm asking you to back me in this. If you don't back me, that's fine. But we'll get another leader, but this is what I believe. She did none of that. I remember sitting with you and Alison, I think, you know, that Monday when the Prime Ministers were here, Prime Minister and Taoiseach, and you asked me, and I said, Stephen, I'm picking up no sense at all of the DUP having been prepared for an Irish Language Act, even though they had clearly been discussing it. No deal done, but they'd been discussing it. They've made no preparation in their grassroots. Grassroots are very uncertain, not because they're opposed per se to some sort of Irish language deal. They just can't understand why nobody's talked to them about it. So, yeah, to turn around then and say, of course, he wasn't referring to Ireland, I think that's a nonsense. I think he was quite clearly saying that if you're going to do a deal, if you're going to do a big deal, an important deal like this, then this is how you do it.
Well, if that's right, the next question, Alex, is why? Why is he saying this publicly, you know, about Arlene? If that is the case, why now?
I'll tell you why now, Stephen, because partly because it's the honorary professorship, it's his first big gig, and he would be expected to talk about this. But more important than that, I think on Tuesday this week, Robinson, 10 years ago, Robinson became First Minister. A week before that, he'd become party leader. He kept the party together. And it's worth bearing in mind, Stephen, Robinson got the DUP to make huge decisions, to take huge risks. It wasn't Ian Paisley. Ian Paisley was needed for the imprimatur at the last moment on St Andrews. And the deal with McGuinness, it was Robinson did all of that. It was Robinson who threw some really critical moments, and you and I talked about them at the time, where the difficulties Robinson was having. He kept the whole thing together. He left that party in a strong position. Okay, he himself was having internal difficulties. He's now looking at the party, the deal he built, the machinery he built up, the institutions he helped to cement, and he's asking himself, is it possible? In fact, he touched upon it right at the beginning. That was the most crucial part. He sort of said, you know, when you look at this, we have to realise just how bad it is. And I remember, Stephen, and Alison would have done it as well, sitting and telling you when he was leader, there are huge problems these guys are not willing to talk about. Last night, he actually was brutally clear, and I think he's genuinely concerned that Arlene Foster may not be able to deliver this, because as it stands, and I made the point somewhere else last night, what has moved from when Peter was doing the deal with McGuinness and Paisley in the background, and then when he was First Minister, what has changed now significantly is that there was always a sense within nationalism and republicanism that Robinson was a man who was prepared to do business, who was willing to do business. The feeling within nationalism and republicanism now, quite clearly, is that they don't think Arlene is up for business. And I think that makes a deal much more complicated now than it would have been 2 years ago, and I think Robinson is acknowledging that.
Yeah, but is the tone of this conversation this morning, Alison Morris, not unfair on the DUP, in that all of the focus seems to be on the DUP getting a deal? It takes two to tango. You know, Sinn Féin aren't making the deal happen either.
It is, but I think that what Conor Murphy said when he was on the phone earlier was right. They didn't have a problem selling that to the grassroots, even though it was a pretty poor deal for Republicans in hindsight. But they could have moved their party along with them, whereas Arlene Foster couldn't. And I think a lot of what you seen from Peter Robinson last night was grandstanding. You know, a lot of it was him sort of laying out, you know, that I was this great leader. But in fact, when you think about it, the outstanding issues that were being negotiated were issues that had been left over and unresolved from 10 years of government, you know, that had been established, government that Peter Robinson led for quite some time. So Arling has inherited all of those things. But I think she sat in the front row and she smiled and she clapped and she made all the right noises, but she could not help but have felt uncomfortable to hear that, because it's fine coming from your critics, it's kind of fine coming from your political enemies. But to hear from Peter Robinson, who, you know, if we think back, I think he was the man who proposed Arling for the job. He was the one who wanted her to be the new leader. She wanted her to succeed him. And then for to hear such a sort of a damning assessment, if that's what it was, although, I mean, they both deny that's what he was doing, but if that's what it was, to have to hear such a damning assessment of your leadership from someone who was once one of your greatest supporters.
Okay. I nearly called you Arling there. Alison and Alex, thank you very much indeed.